Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Science Fiction Writers Series, Friday, November 8th, 2002. I'm Stephanie Mattson, and tonight I'm speaking with ML Kinnett, both an MSU and Clarion Workshop alumna. Welcome to the MSU Libraries, ML.
Thank you.
Okay, first off, I've asked this before, and you didn't give me the answer, but I have to ask, for the record, what does the ML stand for?
ML stands for Mary Lisa.
Oh, okay. Not quite as long as I imagined
it might be.
Okay.
I actually have a very, very long name, and ML is just a lot easier. I have two first names, two middle names.
Well, someday when you are very well known in the science fiction fantasy world or just in the literary world in general, then people might find this interview. Okay, well, what led you to begin writing fantasy and science fiction, and how did you end up participating in the Clarion Workshop here at MSU?
What got me interested in science fiction? Mm-hmm. I have always been an avid reader since probably high school. Went through the gaming phase where I wanted a game, and then I decided after I read one of William Gibson's stories that I wanted to finish it. It was an unfinished story, and I wanted to finish it from the a different character's point of view. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to write that, and I liked it.
Which story was that?
It was New Rose Hotel.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that. And I kept doing that, and then while I was in college, I applied for a job at Curious Bookshop. My dad told me I needed to get a job, and I actually worked in the carcinogenesis lab before that.
Oh, wow.
And I was really trying hard to get through school, and I didn't want to work as many hours. Mm-hmm. So he said, since you are spending so much money there, why don't you try to get a job there and get the employee discount? And I said, okay. So I walked in and applied for a job. Mm-hmm. I was actually hired on the spot, and for 4 years, that was my life, reading, 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 reading.
Wow.
That's all I did. I just read novels. I finished school in that time. Mm-hmm. And after I finished school, I just kept reading. And through Curious Bookshop, the owner, Ray Walsh, he sponsors a scholarship to Clarion.
Also,
he owns an archives bookshop that hosts the reading of the authors who teach at Clarion.
Okay.
So actually, I was actually involved with Clarion by working at archives while they had their readings. So cool. I applied and got in, and the rest, I don't know, is what led me here.
Oh, good. How much does your background as a Lyman Briggs graduate and your major in the philosophy of physics, correct, play a part in your writing?
Well, at first it was an integral part. I really tried hard to write science fiction, try to do the hard science, try to incorporate new science ideas into my stories. After that, I found myself going more to the fantastic. My science fiction stories tended to be more fantastical, and from there I started writing fantasy stories.
Okay.
And from there I started going into the dark fantasy part of the genre and writing a little horror. But I always come back to science fiction.
Mm-hmm. But your work runs the whole gambit.
It runs the whole gambit. I try not to limit myself.
As do your literary tastes then?
You know what? They do. I've gone through all the phases that I think that a lot of avid readers do. I went through my Anais Nin and Henry Miller phase. Mm-hmm. I went through my Shelley and Byron phase. I've gone through my Erica Jong phase, in through T.S. Eliot. I've run the gambit. I've gone through, even with science fiction and fantasy, I've done Piers Anthony, William Gibson, Tim Powers.
Cool. Well, speaking of Tim Powers, who's a Clarion instructor. On your website, you noted that your favorite authors include him and Zena Henderson, Philip K. Dick, and James Tiptree Jr. Now, Henderson is one of Leslie Baim's favorite writers, and she's the coordinator of the series, but unfortunately couldn't be here tonight. And she said that you're the only other person she knows who loves Henderson. So how did you discover her work and come to love it? And
a very eerie picture on the cover of one of her books that I had to shelf. Oh. I was just drawn by this picture. She writes about a group of people she calls the people. Mm-hmm. And they are aliens that are integrated into a small community. I believe it's either in Arizona or New Mexico. She never states it. Mm-hmm. And these people have these just incredible, cool, magical powers. But they live normal lives. And I was just so drawn to that. Zena Henderson is just one of the most untapped science fiction writers around. I think more people should be exposed to her. I think that if I were to teach a science fiction class, she would be high on my list of people.
Okay.
And a side note, that cover, that very eerie cover that drew me to her work, I found later that the man who runs the bookstore that I worked at, mm-hmm. Curious Bookshop, Ray Wall, she actually owns the original painting to that.
Oh, okay.
I kept saying, oh, this is such a good book, and he would order me everything that she has in print, I own.
Oh, wow.
And I also have photocopies of things that I found in the archives here, mm-hmm. of some stories that are no longer in print, and you can't find them in any anthologies.
Wow, you are definitely a devoted fan.
I am. Okay. Of many people.
Okay, well, who else would you add to the list?
Gordon Dixon. Mm-hmm. I would add all those people that are on my webpage, William Gibson, Ursula Le Guin, mm-hmm. C.L. Moore. She's another woman, science fiction writer from the Golden Age that I really enjoy.
Okay, cool. Well, now about your own writing. In your friend Catherine Schaefer's essay, The World Opened Up for Me, 31 Clarion Graduates Tell Their Stories, she wrote that the people she surveyed for that fell into one of three categories, the 5-year dry spell, the instant success, or never wrote again. And this refers to the period of time after they completed their program and before she interviewed them. So though you're not quoted in that article, where do you see yourself among those categories?
I think I'm in between I wouldn't say I was ever an instant success, mm-hmm. but I didn't go through a 5-year dry spell.
Okay.
I have had a few things published. Mm-hmm. Probably the first thing I actually sold was in 2 years to a professional place.
Oh,
and I've,
good.
Since then, I've sold a number of things. So I guess I'm closer to the 5-year drought. But in that 5 years since mm-hmm. Clarion, I have had 2 children. So
yes.
You know, I have to attribute some of that to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Now tell me about the Claret Writing Group that you're a part of.
Oh, the Claret Writing Group. They are my backbone. Luckily, the other members of the Claret group that I've been in and the people who have come and gone out of that group, they all come from a similar kind of writing background. They are very good writers, as in grammar, punctuation, sentence mm-hmm. structure. Unfortunately, I am so in need of that. I have problems putting sentences together grammatically and mm-hmm. structurally, and I need them for that. My okay. first drafts are so awful, so terrible, that without them, I don't think I would have ever been published. I mean, they are the people who are my editors. They're my, yeah. How do I keep this cohesive? How does this story stay continuous? How do I keep it circular?
Mm-hmm. So more than just a sounding board. I
yes.
mean, they're true
yes.
critics.
And yes.
Good, you know,
and I wish I could be more to them than I'm a sounding board to them. Mm-hmm. I do read their things and I critique. And I think that's an important thing about critique groups that a lot of people don't get. When you read a story and you find a flaw or you find something incredible about it, you can learn from that. I mean, critiquing is so much more of the writing process than I think mm-hmm. people give it credit for.
Well, good. I'm glad that you have found a group to really help you.
I've been very lucky.
That. Yeah. How often do you guys get together and share your work?
We try to do once a month. Mm-hmm. Catherine's had a child, and I've had 2 in that time. Another member of our group had some major surgery. And we've had a couple of people come and go. We try to stay consistent, but okay. usually it's about once a month.
Good. Now, have you ever set any of your stories in Michigan?
Yes. Oh. Most of my stories are set in
Good.
Michigan. Most
Good.
Of them.
So do you consider yourself a Michigan writer? Then, just, you know, putting your focus here, and obviously you're an MSU grad, you grew up in Perry,
mm-hmm.
I believe, yeah, and you went to Clarion, too. So what impact does living in Michigan have on your writing, maybe in terms of setting, any plot lines, scientific developments, I don't know, your work experiences, everything?
All of the above.
Okay.
I've set so many stories in Michigan. I've sent I've set fantasy stories, Indian legends. I've had science fiction stories set in the Upper Peninsula because of certain really quirky military operations that have been going on up there. I am a Michigan writer. Off the record, mm-hmm. when we were speaking earlier, we were talking about how I'm Filipina.
Yes.
And that's also an important part of what I write. So I think if I could say I'm a Filipina-Michigan writer.
Okay. Now, elaborate a little on the military experiments in the UP.
Well, I found that there's an antenna buried up north. And it's on a field. And it's not clearly marked, but I found it online. And then through a source of a source of a source, I found that it emits low-wave frequency. And from that, I extrapolated, I researched low-wave frequencies mm-hmm. and electrical fields and wrote a story about that. I've also wrote a story about the side of Michigan that was involved in a big fire, the fire that happened in Peshtigo, Wisconsin, that jumped into the Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. Wrote a story about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Have those stories been published?
No, neither of those have been published.
Okay. Something to look for in the future, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Good. And what projects are you currently working on?
I am a short story writer. I do not write novels. I don't have the time with the small children and working and being mm-hmm. in school right now. I don't have that option. I think people who write novels are incredibly gifted and they are dedicated. Mm-hmm. I can only do short fiction pieces. I can only work on small levels. Mm-hmm. So I have lots of things I need to edit, need to run through my group, re-edit, just work on short things.
And do you have some publications coming up you want to talk about?
Yes, I had a story that came out this week in Christopher Rowe's Fortress of Words publication. It's called Say.
Okay.
It's a new venture that he has. I had two things come out this month. A short story that was picked from a collection offline, a story that I had published online from mm-hmm. Strange Horizons that was picked to be in the 2001 year's Best of the Rest, the best unknown science fiction of 2001.
Okay.
It's a big, long title, yeah. And I also have another publication that is pending. I don't know when the exact date will be. It will be published in Fantastic Stories.
Good. Congratulations on those.
Thank you.
And also in August 2001, Asimov Science Fiction Magazine included you in a list of, quote, some of the most exciting new voices in the genre, unquote. And how did that make you feel?
It made me feel good. It was from the story that was published on Strange Horizons.
Okay.
I felt good about it. Of course I did. Finally, a little bit of recognition.
Good. It gives you an impetus to keep writing and submitting stories. And, facing those potential rejections, as our mutual friend Jim Hines wrote about today. But good. Good luck with your projects, and especially with the things that you've brought to sell here tonight. And thank you very much for participating in our science fiction writer series, ML.
Thank you very much.